This is episode number 67. Your confidence comes from a sense of your well-being. Welcome to the Mindset for Life podcast. This is Bethany, your coach from drbcoach.com. Coaching with power, purpose, and practical tools to help you show up with confidence. Welcome to the Mindset for Life podcast today. If you have an interest in being more confident or just feeling confident generally, you're in the right place. Before we jump in, I want to remind you that this podcast is about being the best version of yourself in today's world. And of course, this starts with your mindset. Mindset for Life is a podcast from drbcoach.com where we explore thinking, attitudes, and habits that lead to how we behave and who we become. I host this podcast. I am Bethany Hansen on the journey to live as a better version of myself more each day, just like you. I've had my own trouble with confidence and my own work in this area, but I also teach others and I have been a professional coach. So I coach folks on all kinds of areas, and confidence tends to be one that everyone wants to develop. What is confidence? Confidence is a sense of overall well-being. Generally, confidence is a comfort zone. It's the ability to have some reasonable trust in your own abilities, your situation, your health, your strength, your inner workings. It comes from the abilities and skills and experiences you've had and how you see all of this in your own life. Most of all, I do want to go back to the idea of well-being. Well-being is a term that we're talking about a lot more these days, especially because the pandemic sent our world into a tailspin. Everyone began to question things that we took for granted for a very long time, and also wondered if there was anything we could be truly certain about. While the rest of the world is uncertain, jobs can come and go, relationships may change, even the weather changes by the minute. But one thing is certain, you can have confidence in yourself, and that is something that does not need to change every day, every hour, or every minute. When you build confidence in yourself, you can have your light shine. You can bring out your talents, attributes, and strengths, and you can really contribute to your family, your business, your work, your relationships, your neighborhood, your teaching career, your working executive position, whatever that might be that you're focused on. Well, what brings a good sense of well-being? Before we can talk about how to develop your well-being, I want to just point out that well-being can be talked about in a variety of settings. Your well-being could be all kinds of areas of life. For example, you might have financial well-being. You might have well-being in healthy relationships throughout your life. You might also have a high level of health and strength. There really is a palette of things that we can look at in our own lives that bring a sense of well-being. It's not just not getting sick or not having illnesses. It's a combination of your physical, mental, emotional, and social factors. Well-being is often synonymously used with the word happiness. It could be considered life satisfaction as well. Basically, your well-being is the way you feel about yourself and the way that you would describe your life and how it is going. Most people who talk about their well-being can say, well, life is good, life is positive, things are going well. They feel healthy, they feel satisfied, they feel upbeat. When we have a low sense of well-being, we feel like something is threatening what's going on in our lives, and we're not very confident about the direction we're headed. Our well-being is completely within our control. While everything outside of us is not in our control, our well-being is definitely something we can build and we can focus on. It's in our circle of control. Your well-being begins with your physical state. It's surprising to me all the time how much the body contributes to our emotions, our energy, and the way we show up for other people. Our body has to be in relatively good health for us to be able to feel our emotions normally. And when I say that, I'm talking about the kind of things we eat and drink. When we consume things or exercise or do anything that changes our body in some way, even temporarily, we are in some way influencing our emotions. A lot of the food we eat, a lot of the things we consume in the beverage area can change our blood sugar, can change our metabolism, can really impact the way we feel and process those chemicals moving through our body that we call emotions. And we feel our emotions all the time. So the things we put in and the things we do with our body influence our sense of well-being in every possible way. Thinking about your physical body, what is your level of activity right now? Are you able to get out, take a walk, exercise, have the health and strength and vitality that you would like? If you don't feel like you can say yes in these areas, it's a great idea to start working on that right now. It's completely within all of our control to do things with our own physical body to bring it to a sense of better health and strength. That's going to contribute to our well-being, and it's also going to give us greater confidence. Of course, when we look at our best and feel our best physically, we have this sense of confidence that comes naturally from our body. But we also can have confidence because of our emotional state. There are a lot of people who talk about emotional intelligence, and emotional intelligence has to do with recognizing what emotions we're actually feeling, being able to regulate our emotions, connecting to the emotional states of other people, and managing our relationships with other people. Emotional intelligence is all about awareness and the capacity to self-regulate and interact. And when we think about emotional intelligence being part of our well-being, this would suggest that we are able to manage what's going on with ourselves emotionally as part of our healthy state. This is also going to bring us a lot of confidence. I mean, who wouldn't want to be able to be in a tense situation and know without a doubt that they could manage their emotional state? Have you ever had a conflict with someone that really provoked your anger or maybe promoted the tears to come? Maybe you felt really emotional or sad. Even if you don't consider yourself to be a very emotional person, emotional intelligence is a critical part of managing yourself to feel confident around other people. You can handle things, and you can handle them emotionally. So we've got our physical area and we've got our emotional area. What about our intelligence, our intellect? It's an interesting thing to believe that during our younger child and teenage and even young adult years, we want to learn or we are expected to learn. We look at a young person and we believe they have much to learn, so it makes sense that they should go to school and that college would be a benefit to most people. But when we're adults, many of us believe that we don't need to learn anything new. Instead, we need to become experts or have expertise in all of those areas that we used to just be learning about. I have news for you. As well as adult development, adult learning is a natural part of life and critical to our sense of well-being. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to go to college for the rest of your life, but it does mean that you need to keep learning. And if you don't keep learning, you start to get stuck and you find fewer alternatives, fewer solutions. And it starts to feel like life isn't going anywhere. It's not fun and exciting, and there aren't not new things to think about. But if you continue to develop and use the best of your intellect, you're able to handle challenges, to consider possibilities and alternatives, to try different options. You create neuroplasticity, which is so critical to keeping your brain healthy, youthful, vibrant, and alive. And as we age, a healthy brain is a critical thing for us to have continued health and well-being. And lastly, we've got the social element. Social connections have been very difficult in the past year of the pandemic when people are physically disconnected, but that does not mean we have to be socially separate. Just this morning, I was reflecting on how many friends and acquaintances I have that I just see virtually over the internet. The people I work with in my full-time position at the university are all virtually accessed. I might speak to them over the phone or through a Zoom webinar or through an email. And I also see some coach clients. And my coach clients I work with virtually through Zoom. None of these people come to me physically face-to-face. But I have deep, meaningful, and rich social relationships with all of them. Outside of this, I have family members that live out of state, and I maintain those relationships in the same ways. We might have a video call, we might have a phone call, and a few times a year, we're able to connect physically, face-to-face, by traveling to each other's homes and being together. But most of the time, those are long-distance relationships. It's very possible to maintain social connections and even create new ones, virtually or at a distance. Social connection is essential for healthy well-being, and well-being is what brings confidence. So again, I'd like to just summarize and reiterate that there are some key areas of life we all have to focus on if we want to continue to have confidence and increase our confidence. And those are our physical state, our emotional state, our intellectual state, and our social state. So all four of those things need to continue growing, developing, and moving forward into the future as we continue to age and develop as adults. Throughout our lives, all the way through age 100 and something, we need to continue growing in all four of these areas to stay fresh, to have healthy well-being, to use our strengths and talents, and to keep learning. When we're doing that, we're going to have a lot more confidence. Now, confidence gives us the comfort and the sense of wellness to give ourselves the space to take risks and to try new things as well. So the more we build our well-being and create an overall sense of confidence for ourselves, the more we open up the possibilities to trying new things, living boldly, taking bold action, and even taking risks. You want to try that new haircut? If you have a great sense of your physical, intellectual, emotional, and social wellness, you can take that risk even if you don't like the way it turns out. You want to take a big risk in your job, try a new career path, a new position, a new approach to a project, connect with some more people that you haven't worked with before. That all takes a high level of confidence, and you can have that confidence when you continue to fortify your physical, intellectual, emotional, and social base, your sense of well-being. When your confidence increases and you can reach out to those new areas, it cycles into itself, and you're able to continue building confidence in new areas and trying additional new things. Now, what should happen if you fail? You hit a wall, you've totally made the wrong choice. You took a risk, it went badly. You can evaluate, look at your strengths and weaknesses, and try a new approach and keep moving forward. It takes a lot of self-kindness, self-compassion, and self-understanding to be able to accept failure gracefully and knowing that you can keep growing and learning in the future. A failure doesn't have to be a temporary setback, and it does not have to destroy your confidence. If your confidence truly does come from your own well-being and your own sense of what you can control in your life, then your confidence will not disappear when you hit a failure. You will be able to keep going, and you can reflect on what has happened and move forward. If you have a total shaken sense of self, your confidence is shattered, and you're really not sure what to do, I would consider looking at these four areas and determining where you'd like to do a little bit more work. What would you like to fortify in your life so that your confidence increases again and you can trust yourself to try new things? Take a look at that, and you'll be able to do those things that you'd really like to do in time or sooner. If you're not sure how to get started, now just might be the right time for you to consider working with a coach. A professional coach can help you to find your strengths, your abilities, and also manage goal setting and moving forward towards what you'd like to achieve. Overall well-being can also be coached, and these are good areas to focus on right now as we're trying to move forward out of the pandemic and into the future life that we're all trying to build. It's more important now than ever to have a healthy sense of wellness, well-being, and confidence so that you can move forward and bring the light that you have to those areas that you can contribute in your life and in the world. I hope that you'll think about reaching out to a coach and trying these ideas out in your own life. And I wish you all the best this coming week in being the best version of you.
This has been a podcast called Mindset for Life by Bethany at drbcoach.com. To find me on the web, you can visit my blog or my website at www.drbcoach.com. That's drbcoach.com.